702.
Weekend Breakfast
with Googs Mshungu. Let's walk the talk.
16 minutes before 10 o'clock, it's time for us to get into the literature corner. And as we've been saying throughout the show, very excited to speak to the co-authors of a book called Wonder, a children's book that tells the story of a young girl and her hair. And we're joined on the line by the two co-authors, Matabo Tlali, as well as Sihlisi Ponunjogweni, who join us to tell us about the book and the huge reception that the book has received. Sihle, Matabo, thank you very much for joining us. Sihle, I'll start with you. Tell us about the book Wonder. What is it about?
Hello, Gugu. It's such a joy to be with you all today. So Wonder is a story about an eight-year-old girl who's really trying to figure out her identity. At home, her mother creates a hairstyle in a particular way, and she calls it a crown, and she calls her beautiful. But when she gets into the school bus on the way to school, there's these tiny boys named Tula and Caesar, and they keep calling her hair. They call her Miss Bush in the bus. But every day she just feels like the bus isn't going fast enough because she needs to get to school in time so she can change this hairstyle that her mother did on her into something that Mrs. Stone will call neat and clean for a lady in green. So what you see in this whole story is this transition across spaces from home to amongst peers and then into the school sector, and how this little girl is navigating her sense of identity and who she is in relation to how these different groups of people see her and really trying to fit in and to belong, right? So it's really a story about identity and belonging, but really at the end, a story about how do we transmit confidence into children so that they believe in their own story and who they are, and how do you really connect them to a much deeper sense of self, which is basically how the book ends at the end.
I just want to ask you, how did this story come about for you? How did the story of Wonder, and why was it so important for you?
Morning to you, Gugu, and to the listeners. Thank you so much for having us. So Wonder is really a vision that Usike came up with. So if I recall, it was a blog post that was situated in Usike's experience of navigating beauty, identity, belonging, and the understanding of worth in relation to what hairstyle you have at the moment. And the concept grew to us. Then she kindly invited me to join the process, and we were entering a competition that Jacana Media was running at the time. We were successful in the competition, and the publishers were like, you know what? We just want to publish this as a book outside of the competition. And here we are today, our collaborative efforts creating the first installment of the series, Wonder.
Sihle, I want to come back to you because Matabo just touched on it as well, about how part of this book is also about your own experience, having gone to different schools and, you know, because your parents wanted you to attend the best schools. But of course, in that process, and we know schools are these, for many of us, these difficult places of trying to find ourselves, of, you know, kind of conforming, but also trying to, you know, express our identity. And what for you about your education, your time moving through different schools, also had an influence on, you know, wanting to tell the story of Wonder?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what really it speaks of is that schools are microcosms of society. So most of the time, the cultures that we get to experience in schools are really a much larger reflection of how we're socialized in our larger society. And I think what both Matabo and I had in being able to access, right, like Model C schools at the time, was that it was a time when being like a black South African in a formerly white school, you were almost like lucky to be there, right? Like, and so your entire attempt and pursuit is to try as best as possible to mirror what the school sees as good, right, or what is neat. And what hair became really like a symbolism of like almost like a proximity to whiteness in a way. But I think what's really also surprising is how, for I went to 12 different schools, for instance, but what was always interesting is how the language and the culture and the conversation about identity was so similar, but also how your understanding of yourself in that particular space was consistent, right, regardless of what school you went into. But that's because it really reflected a much larger society. And I think hair then became the place where you could showcase, right, like, I'm a clean girl, or I deserve a merit, right, or my hair is filthier, or I'm a good black, right? Like, so I think all of that became part of our shared experience, both myself and my child, but I think for so many other young women who grew up in the time that we did in South Africa.
And Mathabo, what has been the response to this book? I mean, I saw, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, it was recognized in the UK. What has been the response to Wanda the Brave's story?
Well, I am part of Wanda Part 1, and Wanda the Brave is a second addition to the story, which was featured so brilliantly hid in being a writer of, I can speak to book one, of course. The reception thus far has been incredible in that, of course, we can talk about the awards, we can talk about how people are receiving it abroad and such, but what really strikes a chord is how the intergenerational response to the book really affirms the idea of healing, the idea of retrospective engagement itself. I mean, I'm sure many South Africans and black individuals abroad can attest to how you have that first moment of emotional and psychological reckoning when you come to terms with your lived experience, be it through feminism, be it through black thought, and. But we don't take the time, and I think we don't have language to sort of access the wounds that we inherited through our childhood. And we are able to theorize our adult life now, but actually just lean into the reality of, actually, this did start with hair with me, or hair was so highly politicized that it became this burden that I had to carry. I mean, even now that I'm engaging and sort of understanding what my life is about and going through the ideas of worth and value and healing and trauma, there's this thing that happened when I was 8. There's this thing that happened when I was 6. And through the process of writing, Wanda, I felt personally that I was giving my own 8-year-old a hug, because there was a real fear that can't sometimes be captured in the beauty and sometimes verbosity of intellectualism, and just using the language, the tender language of children's literature and children's verbiage. That did something for me. It really, really did. And helped me understand Tisha as my friend as well, from a childhood perspective. So it is a special, special moment for the both of us.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question, that it almost seems as if this is the kind of book many of us wanted growing up, going to former Model C schools, going to previously white-only schools, and trying to navigate, you know, all of those things, the class, the race, the peer politics of all of that time. It almost feels like the kind of book many of us wished we could have had, you know, in primary school, in high school. And, you know, Sihle, for you, you were saying you went through 12 different schools. Is that this kind of book for you, that it's the kind of book you wish you had as a kid?
I mean, I suppose in a big way, right? Like when I, Matthew mentioned this blog post that first kind of was the source for the book. And I remember there was a line that I was writing there that said, there are places like this everywhere, places that we enter as young girls from which we never return, right? And that's a line by Lewis Clark. And I think most of the time, we really don't realize the ways in which we've learned how to hide, or the ways in which we have almost like carried shame around what it means to be beautiful, or what it means to be a young woman or young girl, right? Like, so I think that those big questions where the book suddenly illuminates all of that. And I think I wouldn't have thought about the fact that I needed the book, but once the book happened, you're like, oh man, right? But I think this is what happens even with parents who come to our readings. They think they're coming for their children, or some aunts will come and be like, oh, please can you sign a book for, and they're like, I wanted to bring this book, you know, get this book for my niece, but please can you actually find it for me? And I think that's really what the work is. It's about the soul of being human, and the ways in which the systems in which we grow up and the environment in which we grow up affect and reshape who we are and how we see ourselves. And I think this book really almost like ironed out those creases. And this is really what happens at the end of the book, right? Where Wanda suddenly sees herself and she's like, oh, wait a minute, right? My grandmother had hair like this, and my mother had hair like this. And wait a minute, I was a baby with big hair. And suddenly she sees herself in the truth of her own lineage and her own culture. And that becomes like this really like positive identity affirming moment for her, which is really, I think, what happens for us as the writers, but really what happens for the audiences who read the book to their children and for themselves.
And the second installment, Sihle, so there was Wanda, which was the first one, and then Wanda the Brave is the follow-up to the book you published, is it 3 years ago now, in 2019? Is it the same kind of themes for Wanda the Brave? Does it pick up from where Wanda left off?
Yes, absolutely. So I think, I mean, the bigger vision with Wonder World in general is really the kinds of books that children can grow up with and really keep finding themselves as they work through these kinds of themes. So what we did with Matabo in Wonder is that this girl, at the end, her grandmother gives her hair secrets, right? And she gives her, like, images of women that she can look like. And so she enters into the second book with such confidence and bravery and knowing exactly what it is she wants. And she's going to a hair salon and she tells Auntie Ida, who is the stylist, this is exactly the hairstyle that I want, right? So she has a kind of confidence and a sense of self that she didn't have in book one. But now she actually experiences a different kind of challenge, which is like hierarchy in a hair salon, right? So I think so many of us, you go to a hair salon, you know exactly what you want. And you can see the stylist is doing something different. It's like, that's not really what I want. But like, how then do you use your voice in spaces where there's time pressure? One, the salon is full. To your child, right? Like, so there's a hierarchy around power. And when the stylist, who is not necessarily out of bad intention, does something that isn't what you wanted, how do you voice yourself in ways that still allow you to be able to maintain a kind of sense of self? And so I think that's really the exploration around book two, but still happens through the subject of hair, but also in spaces that are very like culturally in tune to who we are, right? So I think of salons is really like institutions of culture. Like, we know what happens. We know the rhythm, you know, like of how it happens there. But like, how do you voice yourself? And it's quite funny. I get messages from people all the time. They're like, you girl, I feel like Wanda because I'm at the salon and I'm at my big age. I can't tell the stylist not to use myself in this way, right? So I think it's really just a continuation of our most intimate cultural conversations about ourselves that happen through an identity and beauty.
And this is a question to the both of you. What would you say has been the most rewarding part of having gone on this journey, which started with Wanda? I know, Sihle, you were just saying you get, you know, messages from people saying, you know, at my big age, I'm still afraid to say, oh, that's not what I want. But what has been the most rewarding part of this journey for the both of you? Sihle, we'll start with you.
Man, it's so enthralling. I think the first is the fact that you can captivate children through the joy of stories. And I think the kind of experience that our audiences have when you read to them is so magnificent, but also so true in ways that I think you've just never seen children being read to. So that's the first. But two, it's the fact that the story becomes theirs, right? So what we always see is, for instance, parents sending us pictures of their children with combs in their hair because Wanda has a comb in her hair at the back page of the book. And they're like, my child wants to take this book to school all the time. Or today they were asked to have a character, a superhero character, and the child basically wanted to dress like Wanda. I think a year ago, Matawa and I received a letter from a little girl called Asive who had written to us, please don't stop writing, right? I love the books that you write. And I think the kind of reception and the heart that it's given to little girls and little boys as well is just, it's so incredible that you can feel the power of storytelling in the hearts and the minds of young people. But also being able to do this with my friend, right? Like being able to tell stories. And Matawa and I were in drama together in high school. And so the ways in which we read almost feels like reliving our times in high school and days. So it's just been an incredible experience. Yeah.
Matabo?
So for me, it's such a loaded question in that it's both experiential. It's experiential in a myriad of ways. Firstly, like Sihle said, like going through this journey with a friend, I think initially we believed in this book so much when we were entering the Jakarta Media competition that we were like, you know what, even if we don't win, we're going to find a way of publishing it, right? Like to have something that you put in so much that you don't necessarily need the affirmation of any institution to prove the value of what it is that you do, and also the long-lasting impact that it's having in our societies and our communities. Since I even mentioned this to you, like just yesterday, a colleague of mine was telling me that he, or they rather, gifted their 16-year-old boy this book, and he was having his own issues with hair, and he was so grateful that he got the book. But it's the advocacy that, you know, we are seeing a book where a Black girl is the hero of her own story, and the, and her heroism is embedded in communal teachings. Myself and Peter grew up in the same community. We are the people that we are largely by the people who are around us, right? By the people who affirm us, the people who showed us the ropes around femininity and womanhood and whatever language that they had at their disposal.
Yeah.
They gave that language to us, and we grew this language in a way that makes sense to us today.
Yeah.
So
Matabo, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it at that. We are out of time. Thank you so much.